Welcome to the official season 2 of Traveling Grace and Mercy. Haven't you asked travelers or paid attention to their reports? Come on, Job 21:29. I am Daisha, and I brought to you season 1 of Traveling Grace and Mercy, just looking at the journeys of my friends and my family and what brings us closer together. And all of your backgrounds and histories, and hopefully inspiring more people who are apprehensive about travel to go on out and do so. Because there's still people out there that, you know, they're afraid to go to some places, or afraid to get out, or afraid to fly, or take a boat, or train, or just get up and move halfway across the world by themselves, like I did, and like the person sitting next to me did. And as you know, Traveling Grace and Mercy is a collection of interviews from people that I've come across in my life, such amazing people. And I'm super excited to bring this one homegrown from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, who has probably known me the longest out of all of the interviewees. And we are sitting here right after your birthday and in the loud JFK. We are sitting here in JFK Airport. And I'm super excited to bring this to you. So please, Heavenly Father, bless this journey we are about to go on. The people we'll meet along the way, like my BFF since, when did we meet? Fifth grade? Fourth grade?
Like 7 or 8.
Okay, so we were not 7 or 8. What grade are you in fifth grade? Just listen to our amazing. We have Tara Tacos Nachos Burritos. These are all names that I can call her. You can't. My Murtis. My G.I. Jane, love her to death. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm the BFF. And, and I like to travel as well.
And where are you on your way to today?
I'm on my way home back to Cologne, Germany. It's been a long road.
It has been a very long road. I'm so happy to be able to catch her right now, JFK. We got to eat lunch together. I'm so excited. And I just can't wait. We go so far back, growing up in the village, the lot in Camelot village, and just playing, you know, Foursquare, avid Foursquare players. I don't think we ever really talked about travel when we were younger.
On the green thing, remember?
On the green thing was always the base. Everyone had the green thing as
clearly
the base.
We could have been electrocuted.
We could have been electrocuted. Kids, right. We aren't the only ones that had the transformer as the base in their neighborhood.
The hub.
I don't know when we started talking about traveling. I went to live in Okinawa for high school and was pen palling y'all.
Right. And I was so sad because it was going to be our first year in high school together and you left me.
That's right.
You actually left me.
I remember her saying that I left her.
How could you do this? How could you do this to me?
I remember that.
Can't be fresh meat alone.
I remember that. But then wait, in high school, you were on a, were you on a Spanish trip with Maya?
No.
See, I thought you went with her.
Mm-mm.
So she went.
Yeah, she went.
So where's the first place you went abroad?
You mean like abroad? Like abroad. Other countries? Mm. I think it was Germany, though. I think that was our first time. It felt like I was on another planet.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, when I was in the army, yeah. And then we were in Freiburg, and then there's Freiburg. I remember I got drunk and went to Freiburg by accident.
Okay.
Yeah, I and the E, E and the I.
No, you hear her. She has a beautiful German everything. Accent pronunciation is amazing. Love you, Black Girl Magic. I love it. Now that you live over there, she and I, but we feel the same way. We're like, we'd rather live abroad. You know, y'all can throw America away. This is a terrible place. And we understand, I don't know, that expat life. When you were younger, did you ever think about that or traveling or any?
I mean, I always felt like, I don't know, like a feeling of there was something more out there for me, you know, that I was like super excited to explore. Like there were adventures in other places, you know, when you watch the news and things are going on. And yeah, I always kind of had the feeling like I wanted to live abroad at some point.
Now, in college, you went to the reserves. In college. You were in Army Reserves?
Yeah.
Did you think about living abroad doing that at all, or you were just in there at the time?
It was one of the main reasons why I left school, was because I felt like I really wanted to experience the world, like, you know, and that was like the best opportunity at the time, you know, to go active duty, and I was like, how far can I go, you know? And it ended up being Germany, so yeah, that's how it started.
And see, that's beautiful. I want you to note all the multiple paths that you can take. It's like, you don't have to go to school. You can just go straight into the military and go. On the other hand, I was somebody who went to school and was like, I'm going to use school to go abroad. I'm going to study abroad. So it depends. You just say, I'm going to go to work. I want to work and be able to travel. So multiple different ways to get there. Now, throughout your travels, have you ever heard the phrase traveling grace and mercy?
I've never heard it. And actually, when I started listening to your show, I was always wondering kind of like where that came from. It always slipped my mind to ask you. I've never heard of that, though, no.
I've heard it said as a form of, like, a blessing over your trips. And it's kind of like an older Christian, I thought like an older black Christian kind of thing. And when I tried to find it in the Bible, it's not there. So I'm like, oh, that's just like a cultural...
Is that like if the good Lord is willing and the creek don't rise?
Wait.
if my grandma used to always say, you know, like, oh, you ask her, are you going to go do this? You know, well, if the good Lord is willing and the creek don't rise...
You know what? That is a first. I'm going to use that as a quote.
You never heard that?
I never heard that.
Had to say that.
She has never said that. Now I'm going to ask her about it.
You just don't remember. She said that. If the good Lord is willing and the creek don't rise.
Okay. Yeah. I think, okay. Yes, they both are forms of blessings, and we're going to go with that one. So, see, it's all about cultural exchange, and that right there was definitely a cultural exchange because I've never heard that one.
Yeah.
So I'm going to add that to my repertoire, too. That's amazing. Yes, maybe it does mean the exact same thing. So now that you are in Germany, how many years have you been living abroad?
10 years. Yeah, 10 years as of April. And I really can't imagine moving back to the States, honestly.
Ruined your life. Going abroad literally ruined your life. You do not want to come back here.
You know, now every time I come back to the States, I feel like I'm actually inside of a cartoon. Like I'm living in a cartoon when I'm in the States. I can't even explain it. There's just no other, I don't know. I don't know what happens.
You're being punked. That's what it feels like. You are in an episode of Candid Camera. Like, this is terrible. Where have you been? So since everything, whatever you can cover, to a military, living in Germany, different careers, where are all the places that you visited?
Oh my goodness, I can't even think. Like, so not only like with the military and on my own. Let me see. I've been to, I've been to France, Portugal, Spain, Iraq, Afghanistan, all over the U.S. And then I went on tour with a reggae band for a year, so we were all over Europe. We went to Tunisia, like, yeah, everywhere. Yeah, Tokyo, of course, like when we met for the first time. And it was such a luck of the draw. You've been there for almost 10 years, and
literally,
I always wanted to visit you. And I got to meet you, like, what was it, the year before you left?
Or did you leave months before I left. Yeah, she came the last year. And we had such an amazing time.
Yeah, so that was also a long time coming. Two black girls walking down the street, eating Cheetos at 3:30 in the morning.
Bottle of Moet.
Right. Drinking a bottle of Moet.
That's so funny. And we talked about how much Germany and Japan are alike as far as like brain and thinking and logic. We would have these conversations all the time on Skype. So it wasn't until you arrived and you seen it firsthand that you lost it.
I felt right at home. The funny thing is I felt more at home in Tokyo because of the similarities of the culture than I did actually going to England, which I thought, okay, it's going to be, you know, like English and English, like language. But I felt like definitely more foreign there. Oddly
That's
enough.
Because you're now German, so your culture was matching your home culture.
Exactly. Like, I belong.
Oh, my goodness. Have you had any difficult, like, what was the most difficult experiences you've had going to Germany? Because German is a very hard language to pronounce. When I came to visit, I went to visit her after the March 11th earthquake in Japan, and Tokyo was going haywire, so I was like, you know what? It's spring break. People were like, go ahead, get out, take a break. Because Japan's reacting a little bit slow to the reactors. So, you know, I was having, like, people in the military going, like, if you can leave for right now. Yeah, they were like, you need to go. So I came over to see Tara, had a great time, but I was really nervous about pronouncing German wrong. And also drinking beer, because that's not my thing. But y'all, local beer is delicious. Very delicious. But what were some of the things that were hard for you when you first moved there?
I would say definitely the language was a huge obstacle. I mean, it took me like 3 or 4 years before I could actually read my own mail.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, the language is not really something that you can pick up easily, like a French or a Spanish. German is really complicated. It's like you're learning how to speak backwards in a sense. So it's like, if you want to say like, yeah, I don't know what I should do. Ich weiß nicht, was ich machen soll. Like, I don't know what I to do should.
No,
it's weird.
You're going to speak that.
Yeah.
And what did you do when you were over in Germany?
When I was what?
When you were in Germany.
Like for work or? Mm-hmm. I did like a bunch of odd jobs. Like I had a friend who, she was like a casting agent. So I worked like in the backgrounds of like German movies, like commercials.
That's where the token Negro in the commercials, because that's a job a lot of people get in Japan.
Right. Like if we want to diversify our situation, we just throw this girl in the background.
Right.
I was in a Deutsche Bahn commercial. Like,
Deutsche Bahn.
Yeah. What else? Like all kinds of random things. The latest one was I played a nurse in it's kind of like an ER like daytime version, like daytime show in Germany. I just took notes in the background, you know.
Hilarious.
Once in a while I had a line here or there. Yeah, so between teaching English and doing like extra show, extra parts and working at the kindergarten. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Kindergarten.
Yeah.
Which I learned to say correctly.
Yeah, so odd jobs.
Now these loud random voices you hear in the background are the obnoxious American tourists that we do not like when we go overseas and live overseas. Don't be like them when you go abroad. Now, I wanted to have you comment because you are a real life G.I. Jane. Thank you for your services, plural. Tell us what it was like to be in what we in America call the Middle East. You were actually in these places. Give us something that's like, yes, it's like this in the news, what they say, and no, it's completely not like this.
I would say, as far as the media is concerned, you know, there's a lot of things going on over there that the media kind of like spins.
Mm. Tell us what's
like,
accurate, something that you notice is accurate, and then something that you notice is like, this is not even how they say.
Well, something that's accurate is culturally how women are treated. Like, you know, in some of these other cultures, it's definitely like, speak when spoken to and, you know, kind of like know your place, play your position. Yeah, and something that I would say is not so accurate. I mean, on the other hand, I did meet a lot of really genuinely nice people, though, you know, like really, you know, they will give you the shirts off their back. If you come to eat dinner at their place, they will cook all the food that they have in order to make sure that, you know, you're full, you're satisfied. So on the other hand, there are, you know, really good people over there as well. Everybody's not a terrorist. Everybody's not, you know, out to kill you. So, you know, it's, yeah.
See? Thank you. Thank you for that update and accurate on the ground seeing eye. Because it's important to know from people that who have actually been there. Where would you like to go in the future? Because we've actually been to a lot of places. But like you said, besides coming back to Japan, because we definitely have a future Tokyo reunion on our hands to be had. And I have to get back to Germany.
Yeah, no problem.
Specifically during the Christmas market, you said.
Yes.
But where do you see yourself going in the future?
Thailand. Really interested in going there. And then Bora Bora. Like, but I promise myself, I'm only gonna go to Bora Bora if I'm like in love.
Why does everybody hold Bora Bora and Bali for like, oh, I'm going there with my fiance or my spouse and my okay, y'all?
You don't go there. No, it's just not one of those places. You know,
but is it worth a solo trip?
Shape. Like bathtubs. You're going to be sitting in a heart-shaped bathtub by yourself? So sad.
Self-love. So self-care.
Sad. No. No. Make an extra soap, you know?
No.
Make an extra sudsy for yourself.
Yes. Now, see, you do like to challenge yourself. You are very, I say, obstacle course aware. Where are some races, like crazy world races, or places that you would go that's like for you gladiator types? Is there anywhere on your travel list to go do that? Climb a mountain, hike a tree or something?
Actually, something I just found, I definitely want to get a motorcycle. It's called a Triumph Scrambler. It's called like a cafe racer. Yeah, so they're kind of like mixes between like a street bike and like a dirt bike. And there's actually a tour that goes through some parts in northern Africa and like through the desert, like through Morocco. And they take these scramblers through the desert. So yeah, that's definitely high on my list. Oh, also wingsuits and base jumping in Sweden.
Oh, that's in Sweden that you sent me that picture.
School there, yeah.
Do you have? Well, I guess you would have to go to school. There's no like amusement park where I can just go put on a bat suit and jump off a cliff.
I mean, maybe, but I know there's like a school where they have like an indoor wingsuit, like I guess it's a wind tunnel kind of thing. So yeah. Yeah, between that and learning how to ride a motorcycle first. I've only ridden it like twice. Yeah, that's the goal.
Okay, well, see, knowing you, you're going to accomplish that very, very soon. Very soon. Now, you said you were traveling with the reggae band.
Yeah.
Do you like reggae music?
It depends. I mean, like, if it's, like, mainstream reggae, like, I only like sellout reggae music. Like, some of the, like, actual hardcore
like,
reggae. I don't know. Like, I don't know. There's this one band called Catch a Fire. I mean, I don't know if you want to call them sell. They're not, it's not sellout, but it's more, like, kind of, like, mainstream. It's, like, a mixture, like, kind of, like, poppy reggae, you know.
See.
Yeah, like this.
Now, we've been friends since we were little, so we have gone through a lot of musical years together. Also big fans of TLC. Until this day, Tara still holds myself and our other friend accountable for not forming a young TLC back in the day.
Decent.
Yeah. Called Decent. Because that's about the height of our vocal skills.
Right.
We were just decent. It weren't great.
It doesn't get better.
Just mediocre three. It was just... Which actually would be a great group today. Because you don't need to be good at all right now.
Yeah, it would be like ironic, but like not ironic.
What type of music do you prefer when you're traveling or you must have on your playlist?
I like Toro y Moi. What's the other dude's name? Tone Stith? I don't even know if I'm saying his name right. I don't know. The song's called Good Company. I've been stuck on that for a minute. And Tyler, the Creator. I like his new album, too. It's pretty hot. But yeah. Kind of like a mixture of some old, a little bit of old, a little bit of new.
Well, I'll be adding that to our Travel, Grace, and Mercy guest list, which you can actually listen to on Spotify. Because you can follow me on there, Daisha Hunter. And there's multiple lists. I have a taxi takeoff landing list. And it's supposed to help you when coming through TSA. Let the people know what happened with you today in TSA.
Oh, yeah. I left my container in my bag. Ridiculous. And I ended up having to, like chug my Gatorade, chug it down. You know, she had to escort me out of the area. Like I had a radioactive substance or something inside. So chugged it, screwed up my shirt, you know, dripped it all over the place. You know.
That's the thing. I thought they were going to let you pour it out and take it with you. But she's like, you cannot discard anything once you pass through TSA. You have to literally go all the way back out and get rid of it.
Right, right. Yeah. And she was like, and actually she told me I couldn't even drink it like in the area at all. Like I had to go completely outside. Right.
And I guess I can understand that, because what if it's like an activator thing, if you pour it in the trash can, it'll start a fire. Like, I don't know. I kind of get it, I guess. Maybe it's a detonator or something. I don't know. They didn't want to play any games. They didn't want to play any games with that. So, TSA, yeah, that playlist is going to help you once you go through that situation. And, you know, you got your Gatorade on your shirt. You might be a little angry. So it just helps you, to calm all the way down. Well, please give us advice on anybody who's even thinking of or remotely interested in maybe going overseas, not realizing that they're actually going to go over there and maybe want to live. What is something that you wish you had known beforehand or before going? Because you kind of went after working in America, but you didn't even plan on staying. You ended up staying. Is there anything that you would have done to prepare to go there, or you kind of like the way you went?
I think, if anything, you just simply have to have the will to want to be there. Like, you know, that alone was enough to drive me to do everything else that I had to do in order to stay. So you really have to want to be there. You know, there's plenty of people who, as soon as they came across one or two issues, they were like, well, I don't want to deal with this. I'm just going to fly home, you know? And, you know, especially when my relationship didn't work out, which was partially the reason why I went there, you know.
For those of you lover traveling genre of people.
I mean, I'm not that romantic to move there just for someone. Like, such a romantic, that's not me. But, like, you know, I wanted to move back. Right, I wanted to move to Germany anyways. I thought it was cool, you know. Mm. And, yeah, and so, you know, when it didn't work out, people were saying, like, oh, this is the biggest mistake of your life. If you stay here, you know, you're going to screw everything up. And it ended up being the best decision I've ever made in my whole life. The best decision ever. So, yeah, I would say number one thing to bring is your will to want to stay.
Message.
10 years later, you know, here I am.
Love it. I love it, and I love you, and I'm so happy, and happy birthday, and happy 50th friendship anniversary that we've had. Anything else you want to add to the people?
Just that I love you, and I'm so proud of you, everything you're doing, and yeah. Tacos, nachos, burritos.
Oh, what's your favorite food in the Middle East?
Oh, in the Middle East, hummus. Hummus and bread and like this pita bread that they make.
Are you into the dates?
Not so much.
What's your favorite food in Germany?
Oh, I think during Christmas time they have what's called Reibekuchen. It's basic. Reibekuchen. It's kind of like a German hash brown, sort of. I mean, I don't want to like downgrade it and say it's like a hash brown because it's not. There's like a lot more involved than that. But like, it's a Reibekuchen, you know. It's like fried, kind of like shredded potato, and they mix like some other things in there, and it's delicious. You can have it with like slices of salmon or applesauce or horseradish. No, but my favorite one only comes around.
Come on, horseradish.
Yeah, my favorite one only comes around during Christmas. But you can get it in other places.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you for being my first guest of season 2.
Yeah.
Traveling Grace and Mercy. Cannot wait to have a follow-up episode actually in Germany. That would be great. And may you have a very blessed flight, because right now, as we are sitting in JFK, they closed all the ramps. So that means the flight's going to be delayed, but they have not updated it yet.
It's looking scary outside.
There are lightning bolts going off, and there's a plane, a Virgin plane, flying right towards the clouds. Right towards the clouds. Yeah, have you ever experienced any bad turbulence?
My plane was struck by lightning when I was flying back from Iraq. It was actually really crazy. This was like, I think it was like 2003, 2004, like two hurricanes before Katrina. Remember that? There was like a series of hurricanes. And so we were flying back, and the turbulence was the worst I had ever experienced. I mean, like roller coaster, like dropping down, like going up, dropping down, and your stomach is like in your throat. People are starting to scream, you know, the lights are like flickering sometimes. It's really out of control. And the guy sitting next to me, we hadn't spoken the whole time, the whole flight. And he just looks at me and he goes, well,
like, we thought we were going to die.
Yeah, we were on our way back to the States, you know. We thought we were going to die, and I looked at him, and I was like, look, I just survived 15 months in Iraq, and now I'm going to die in a plane crash? This is bullshit. Can I say bullshit?
Yes, you can.
This is bullshit. Yeah, we were kind of like accepting the fact, like, we're strangers, but now we know each other really well, because we're going to die together. We're going to die together. And so, like, after a few minutes, you know, after, like, this huge crash and, like, surging, you know, up and down, the pilot kind of calmly comes over the speaker, and he's like, yeah, you know, there's nothing to be worried about. Everything is okay now. We were in a rough patch. I'm like, a rough patch? The plane was struck by lightning, but everything is okay, you know, like, you guys can stop screaming now. You know what I mean? The screams can come to a stop. Okay, we're not going to die. Everything's going to be fine. Yeah.
That is funny.
So that was the worst flight that I ever had when I actually thought I was going to die. Did now I have like 7 lives struck? Left. What's that?
Did you see it when it got struck?
No.
Okay.
It was just like a huge crash. And, you know, we were already on a roller coaster.
So that was
it was horrible.
Shout out to the pilots who are just like, I don't know about y'all in the back dying, but we are here in the cockpit chilling. We will be all right. Thank you for coming on after I threw up in the aisle, like after I threw my guts up.
Oh, gosh.
But for the rest of you who are afraid to fly, it's okay. I'm telling you, it's safe. Always remember that planes were built to fly with one engine. Literally, they were built to fly with one engine. Two is just a bonus. So, you know, the fact that you have two working is just extra. So calm your nerves. You know, the moment when you think you're going to die, it's also a very calming moment because you will look, turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, we gonna die.
We gonna die.
But you said not today, because I have been through too much. And tell the Lord, this is some BS. This ain't gonna happen. I did not make it out of them trenches to die in a plane crash. So there you go. See, look at that. Nothing but positive vibes and spirits for your flight. That is traveling grace and mercy. See, what did your grandmother say?
If the good Lord is willing.
See, the good Lord was willing. The creek was trying to rise on y'all, though. The creek was trying to rise, but the Lord was willing. Ain't no creek rising today. Go into your travels knowing that ain't no creek rising today. Thank you very much. From our journeys to yours, may all of your travels be blessed. You can reach Tara on, where can they reach you? Do you want them to reach you on Instagram?
You can. Just look up my name, Tara. If you can't, then that's cool too.
You can reach her through Traveling Grace and Mercy's Instagram, since she wants to be secret. If you have any questions, at TRAVEL GRACEMERCY on Instagram. We also got it on Facebook. And of course, travelgracemercy.com. Thank you for listening to part one of Traveling Grace and Mercy with my best friend and GI Jane, Tara. We spoke this second interview into existence by wanting it to be in Cologne, and that is where this one is conducted. So please keep listening to part two of Traveling Grace and Mercy, Tara's Journey. Happy New Year! It is now 2020. Welcome to season two of Traveling Grace and Mercy. Haven't you asked travelers or paid attention to their reports? That is coming from Job 21:29. For those of you who do not know, this is Traveling Grace and Mercy. Our journey is the destination. I am Daisha, and I love interviewing my friends and family about their travel stories. And I want to explore the idea of Traveling Grace and Mercy through cultures, beliefs, and everyone and where they've been in their travel origins. But on this episode, it's actually part two of season two premiere, starring my BFF since childhood, a GI Jane, Tara.
Yep, yep.
Welcome back. Welcome back. What is so excellent about this interview is that when I first caught up with her, we hadn't seen each other since when? 2015?
Yeah, I think so.
So we haven't seen each other in 3 years. We caught up in JFK while she was on her way back home to Cologne. And we did that interview, so you can catch up on that too. And now it is New Year's, and I flew to Cologne, and I haven't been here since 2011.
Jawohl.
And we're having our reunion here, and it's been 6 months since I've seen you. So Happy New Year!
Yay,
thank
happy
you for
New
having
year.
Me back. Yes.
I love you.
Frohes neues Jahr.
Yeah, sehr gut.
Oh, that's good. I've learned all how to use the back part, my throat tools, and sound effects.
The back
here. Just for this. Just for this. I'm so happy to be here. We are exhausted. So let's just put that out there right now.
I'm like a zombie right now. Like, I can't.
We are
function.
Both zombies. Let me tell you. She flew in from Sunday. I flew in from Sunday. And I feel like we've been up running nonstop to get ready for this epic New Year's Eve party, which was amazing. We had so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think
about
the party?
I thought it was really so crazy, but what let me know that it was so crazy was everyone else's reactions, because like,
oh my god,
we've been planning this since August, you know, like I said. So, you know, seeing everybody else being like, what, oh my god, like, you know,
very beautiful, all the decorations, so all the work that went into it, and especially the beautiful venue.
Mm-hmm.
The quest in 1897 mm-hmm. historical archive building of Cologne, the exactly. first one. Mm-hmm. We had a party in a cathedral looking building. I keep saying it was a cathedral.
A cloister, you know.
A cloister. It was great. It was so beautiful. And I can't even say it was such a great time. And I'm so glad that you are here and that you had the party and that it happened. But mm-hmm. most importantly, that I could be here for it. So thank you so much for having
yes.
me. Happy New Year. So I'm really glad to get to set off this season of Traveling Grace and Mercy. And now that this is a follow-up episode, I do want to focus on Cologne. Your mm-hmm. life in Köln.
Yeah.
It's so hard to pronounce it because it's K-O-L-N in
German. Right, and it's the U that gets people, Köln. The umlaut, the O with the two dots. Umlaut.
I've been putting umlauts on every single vowel since I've been here in my hashtags. So.
Yeah, right, whether it fit or not.
Rather fits or not. It looks good. It looks good.
You're like, strip,
Love it. So before, we definitely talked about your past, like you starting traveling, coming mm-hmm. over traveling. You still live in Cologne, Germany for what's been what?
Forever. What
is it, 10 years?
Yeah, it's been 10 years and really, I fall in love with Cologne every time I come back. Like if it's been a while since I've been away, you know, as soon as I see the dome, like, which is the huge cathedral here that Cologne is mostly known for, it's like I fall in love all over again.
It is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I want to go back inside. I mean, the city is beautiful. It's my first time flying into Düsseldorf. You can see from the sky that you're not going to smell any urine like New York City. Like, there's no trash at all. It's just beautiful and picturesque, and it makes you want to live here, too. So, I see why you are here. I see mm-hmm. why you are staying.
I get it. We're here. We're doing this.
Yes. So, in this episode of Traveling Grace and Mercy, I want to know things about Cologne. How would you pretty much market it or promote it to other people, being mm-hmm. that you live here and you love it? So just let us know the basics. Like, what mm-hmm. are three things that you love about living here in Germany or in this city specifically?
Well, definitely I would say, like, some of the more traditions and things that are rooted, like, in the culture. Like, for example, like Christmas markets or Carnival, which they have two times a year, one in November, which they call the Elfte Elfte, which means the 11th of the 11th. And you celebrate it at 11 a.m.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then there's the week-long carnival that they celebrate in February then. And, you know, so, you know, what separates it from, like, a Caribbean carnival is more, like, you know, people wear, like, costumes of all kinds. There's also more traditional costumes that people wear. That are rooted more in, like, you know, Cologne history, if you want to say. Other than that, it's just about, you know, Germans use any excuse to, like, get drunk. You know, who doesn't like that? Yeah, who's not into that? So it's like, I'm down.
So you mentioned carnival, and it's any costume is okay. Just
pretty much. I mean,
Halloween,
it's like,
dressing up.
Exactly. You know,
your
you
favorite hero, your all that stuff.
You can have blood, you know, all over. You can be like a dead cheerleader, whatever you're into.
Oh, so all it really it. Is. Okay, wow. Because I wouldn't expect to see, like, just random categories of costumes.
Yeah, you're gonna see like at least 50, like, you know, drunk cowgirls, police women, you know, these kind of, like, typical, you know, Halloween things, you know, the nurses' costumes, stuff like this. But
do we get candy?
During the parade, I think they usually have it, like, in the morning, and so they kind of, like, separate it. Like, Germans have, like, in the mornings more for the kids, you know, they have, mm-hmm. like, things going on in the city, you know, like, the parade, they're handing out maybe, like, small little toys or something like this, and then, like, you know, candy, you know, you say, like, Carmella, you know, the kids scream, Carmella, Carmella.
That's candy?
Yeah.
You should have told me that a long time ago. Carmella.
You can't just yell it through the streets and people just automatically throw candy at you. That's not how it works.
Carmella!
This is strictly, you know, a carnival thing, so, you know, like, during the parade, let me be more specific.
I push the children out of the way and grab the candy.
Right. Clearly you have your pillowcase lined up and, like, you know, catching candy.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, like, we even had one year, I had a friend who lived on the same row as where the parade went by, and he actually hung umbrellas outside of the window.
Oh, wow.
And we were, like, ducking candy because he had all the windows open, so we're inside the apartment, like, dodging all the candy getting thrown through the windows. Yeah. And he's got like 3 or 4 umbrellas hooked, you know, up, you know, obviously like to catch the candy that way. So that was pretty crazy.
That is smart.
It is smart, is, you know.
Very smart.
Yeah.
Is there any special food that you eat during carnival?
You can eat, I think it's also similar like they have in New Orleans and maybe Caribbean where they have these kind of like fried sort of like donut ball things.
Oh,
they
kind of like funnel cake pillows, beignet?
Yeah, but you know, I don't even remember what they call it here. But yeah, so it's basically like the same, you know, like a fried donut and they roll it in, you know, like sugar and cinnamon stuff. It's delicious.
Oh, you said you don't remember. Don't
absolutely
remember the name of them.
Delicious. I'm so sorry I don't remember.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned carnival versus Oktoberfest, because everybody would think like, right. Oh, Oktoberfest is the cultural event that
but
I love the most
Bavaria.
If I lived in Germany.
Right. And, you know, that's more of like a Munich, you know, Bavarian, Southern Germany kind of tradition. I mean, even though they have like little knockoff things, you know, here and there, like when you know it's the time period for Oktoberfest. But it's mainly celebrated in Munich in the south. So.
Oh, look at that. See? The more you know. Because you know we smeared across all of the country of Germany and we just think it's all of y'all thing.
Nope, no.
But come up here to Cologne and...
And I do have Lederhosen.
Lederhosen!
Yeah.
Can you? Well, you could wear those to carnival if you wanted to.
I could.
That's
right.
A
lot of people do that. It's also one of the more traditional costumes to just wear Lederhosen.
See?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll
and
come
you're
for that.
You're supposed to pee in it. That's... tradition.
I don't want to pee in my Lederhosen.
When you first get your Lederhosen, yeah, you have to pee in them. You know, it's like, yeah, I broke the seal. I did that thing that
is it like
do.
Beer piss inside your Lederhosen? Is this like
I mean,
specifically...
you just give it a good college try. You just have
and
a good
you just
piss.
Walk around pissy in your Lederhosen.
Yeah, you know, and then you know, you wash it, you knock it out, and now you've kind of like broken in your Lederhosen. It's like a thing.
Okay, there we go. That is your cultural point to come visit here. If you like being pissy, you can do that
literally,
too.
Pissy ass,
literally.
You know, you're pissy drunk.
Now, what else do you like besides the carnival?
Oh, don't forget Christmas markets.
Oh, yeah. I've yet to come.
Weihnachtsmarkt.
You have been pushing this for years.
I'm telling you. They have everything. They have, you know, like gifts and like most of the things are like handmade, either from glass or wood or... You know, like those little nutcrackers that they have, you know, nutcracker soldiers. But mainly for me, you know, fatness first.
Yes.
I'm all about the food.
There
like, it was so bad. I used to like stop back from work, go to the Christmas market and like grab food for dinner. And then
all
leave.
Your dinner. What do you pick up?
They have this amazing smoked salmon that they have like over an open fire on a cedar wood. Yeah, I know you can't see her face right now, but she's giving all the like yummy faces, like
cedarwood fish.
Yeah, like fresh, like salmon. You know, like I don't know where they get it from, but it's you know it's really fresh. You can taste it on cedarwood over an open flame, and it's just crispy on the outside and just perfectly juices the juices. Everything is it's unreal.
So you pick up fish. What else?
Fish. I get Reibekuchen.
Rabekuchen,
Which is kind of like it's like a German like hash brown. I don't even want to like.
It is potato.
I don't want to downgrade it and say that it's like a hash brown, but it's similar, you know. So it's like shredded potatoes. I'm not sure what they use to like actually stick it together to make that form. But they eat it with. You can have like applesauce or horseradish or smoked salmon, like thinly sliced smoked salmon pieces that they eat like on top of it.
And Sam, that's what I was told is the actual dish for New Year's because you know Pennsylvania Dutch heritage. I'm thinking it's sauerkraut and wherever you get this black eyed peas from, black eyed peas and sauerkraut. No one mentioned anything about eating sauerkraut for New Year's. They're like, no, we actually eat salmon, so there's that. And you've mentioned salmon a lot here.
Yeah, people are really into salmon here, especially for breakfast with those thin smoked slices, you know, that they sell like at the grocery store and everywhere. So, yeah.
And what else do you like about Germany, like living here? Well, one, as an expat, but also as a single black woman here. Like, what is it like
You know,
socially,
definitely,
like living?
Right. Definitely like the, I've had many conversations with, you know, like colleagues and other Americans about like social programs that they have here, you know, like universal healthcare, you know, which is kind of like, you know, kind of like a hot topic, like in the States, people really seem to be like against it. But, you know, I'm like, well, you know, you have to understand, like, it's working in other places already, you know, like here, it's working, you know? So basically the way it works is like in the morning, there's like a period of time between like 8 in the morning and let's say like 11, just before the afternoon. And so if you have an issue, if you're sick or whatever, you know, you go to your family healthcare doctor and they see you, you know, you might have to wait like 15, 20 minutes. You know, you get seen. If you need a specialist, then they, you know, refer you. They just send you a referral. And usually that specialist also has, you know, a sick call period. You know, so you can be seen pretty much on the same day, no matter what it is, you know, what issue you have. So I think you know, it all kind of goes back to the sense of community and things that they have here. You know, it all kind of ties together, you know, like what I was saying before about, you know, supporting the local farmers that are here in the area. You know, like now I buy, they have specific sections that have regional products, you know, like mm-hmm. mushrooms or like potatoes or like some carrots. Wow. So I buy and support the farms in the area in which I live.
Yes.
Yay.
Community. Responsible citizen.
Community, you know.
And resident. I'm sorry, responsible resident.
And especially eggs. They actually give the address. And so you could actually go to that farm, you know, and actually make sure that the grade of eggs that you're buying, what? That they're actually complying to what they say they're complying to. So if they say free range and you go to that farm, then it better be
USDA
free range.
Could never.
Yeah, see?
Absolutely.
So, and Germans are so German where I guarantee you people have done that before.
They have
so they
showed
can say,
up.
Hey, I know, you know, I've bought your eggs and now I want to be certain that these are actually free range eggs and they go there and check it out.
So,
yeah, with Germans you can't mess around. If you say this is what you're doing, that's what you better
do
be doing,
because they're going to check.
Oh yeah.
So living is great as mm-hmm. far as healthcare,
yeah,
the food options. And wait, is it true that they get like if you have a child, the mm-hmm. nanny situation, like what is it like raising a child here as far as education,
well,
care?
One main thing that I really like, I also really agree with, is that you know, like when you first have a child, of course, you know, it's really important here. They really instill that you need to like bond with that child. And, you know, this time period is very, it's like sacred here.
Aww.
So mothers, you know, new mothers have like an entire year that you can be off from work. And I forget the percentage. I'm not sure if it's something like, I'm pretty sure they have to pay you like almost one for one as if you were actually working your regular working wage. You know, because why should you have to be, you know, penalized for having a child? It's supposed to be something to celebrate and something, you know, that you shouldn't, you know, lose value like at work or, mm-hmm. you know, your position there is safe. You know, you can't be like, you know, well, she's been out for a year. She had a baby. So now, like, you know, screw her. We're going to find somebody
right.
else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's really, and I think you have, I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure you have. Could choose up to 2 years being away, but definitely 100%, like 1 year safe.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All good things if you are interested in moving out here, coming to visit, and getting to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because things can be way better than they are in America. No one believes you, but this is why I would like people to find out what's happening from people who actually live there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are three things that you dislike or cause you discomfort?
Right. I would say one of the huge things is customer service. Like, oh my goodness. Some things, it's not, I think there aren't a lot of things that I miss about the States, but that's a huge, huge like thing for me is like, if you need anything done, you know, if your internet is off and you need to call someone, like either people just won't answer the phone. Like, I'm like, is this not an establishment? Like, is this not a professional place? You know what I mean? Or, you know, you speak to someone and, you know, you're like trying to figure out how you can get this resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, I don't know.
What?
It could
See,
be that.
We think our customer you know, service is bad in America, but at least you're on the phone with somebody who has some sort of answer, even though it's not the answer you want and it's the attitude that you don't want.
Right.
But at least it's there. I didn't know it was that bad here.
It's to the point, like, let's say, you know, if there's someone who's on vacation and, you know, they're handling your account, you know, and that person goes on vacation. Well, for some reason, no one else is able to handle that until that person comes back. So it could be that you have an issue and they're like, well, you know, Gertrude or, you know, Heidi comes back, you know, next week. So you're kind of like, you know, shit out of luck.
That is crazy.
Choose.
No, not during this. Somebody better log in and fix
you know?
This.
No, wow. There's no logging in. Heidi took all her passwords. She took all the keys. Everything's no.
All right. Well, customer service is a negative over here. Nine. Now. Yeah. What else is a discomfort, I should say?
Yeah. I would also say, let me think for a second. I would say some of the things, I can't even remember like what we were talking about.
Well, the one thing I always like to focus on Traveling Grace and Mercy is the level of racism that will be felt. Because I always hate America based on the amount that I felt versus when I lived in Japan and it was like, oh, well, I'm a foreigner there. And even though there are some racial interactions specifically, they're just like, but I do not feel at all a day like I'm in America and it's in your face every second. So
yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, and now there's like the situation with so many refugees. You know, on the one hand, I can kind of understand like that they're trying to protect their way of living. But on the other hand, it's like, yeah, but you can't group us all into one, you know, into one group. You know, so that's one of the things that I would say is, you know, it's becoming more of an issue. And I would say more amongst kind of like older generation Germans, because, you know, a lot of people like our age and younger in their 20s kind of understand, you know, they have friends that might be refugees or might come from the same background as some of these refugees. And they're like, hey, they're people just like us. You know, we're all the same, you know, but for example, my neighbor, you know, he probably doesn't know anyone from Afghanistan or even America or Congo or wherever, you know. Mm-hmm. So he gets his information just like anybody else who, you know, it might be considered a little bit of laziness, you know, to kind of like reach out and, you know, Google something, find out, you know what I mean? Like, how do these people live? What's the situation? You know, then to just watch the news and they're like, yeah, okay, there was a North African, you know, 25-year-old male who, you know, like, I don't know, robbed a girl, you know, mm-hmm. like somewhere in a public place or whatever, you know, and everyone's like, oh, those North Africans, they're always, right. You know what I mean? Grouping so it's kind of like one of those situations. And I feel like it's not even like maybe even like a German thing. It's kind of happening like all over, mm-hmm. you know, at the moments. So, yeah, it's becoming more of an issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With immigration. Anything else that you don't like about living here?
Man, I love it so much. It's so hard to think of something that I don't like. I mean, for sure there are things, you know, but it's just kind of like anywhere else, you know, you know, little things that, you know, that might bother you here. And they're like here's a thing that's definitely huge. Every year, maybe a couple times out of a year, the trains go on strike. Oh, it affects the entire city, you know, so everybody's trying to figure out how they're going to get to work. If that's your primary way to get to work, now you're trying to figure out, like, what am I going to do? You know, like, people ride bikes, or now you have to take a taxi that's going to cost you, like, 30 euros or something. But it shuts everything down, you know, and every year they ask for a raise, and every year they get a raise. So it's like, I understand them on the one side, but I'm like, but can you actually punish the people who are, you know, responsible for these things instead of the people who actually pay your wage? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, why can't you guys, like, I think in Japan, was it true that they actually were letting people on the train, but they weren't charging them? So that way it wouldn't negatively affect, you know, like they were running the train.
But I don't think that was Japan. Because I don't know about them striking. Something like that. Maybe Paris stays with a strike.
Mm-hmm. But they weren't like charging anyone. They were just letting everybody on for free, which means they were serving their purpose, you know.
Well, that never happened while I was there.
Oh, okay.
That never happened while I was there. I don't know. But that's interesting. So
because that way it doesn't negatively affect the people who have nothing to do with these issues. You know, we pay the wage, you know, you know. But at the same time, you're still sticking it to the man. You know what I mean? You're like, you're not going to get your money today.
That's a good idea for New York. Look, they need to let everybody jump a turnstile here or there. But, you know, well, see, little things like that, people want to consider where they're going. You know, some things are high on your level of a pet peeve list. They're like, oh, I can't tolerate this or that. But it's good to know, coming from someone who lives there. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Sure.
But, you know, I'm going to talk about fatness first. My favorite topic is food.
Yes.
What are your favorite things to eat here? Especially because you are vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And even though we love tacos, nachos, and burritos, our ingredients might be different. But we need to know, where can we get the delicious food in Köln?
Well, it depends on what you're into. When when someone comes to visit and I know they've never been here before, they've never, you know, had like German food before, I usually take them to it's called the Altstadt, which is like the old city. And there they have like more of the really traditional, you know, like German foods. They actually have this thing called, it's like a fried pork knuckle. It's huge. It makes you like think you're in medieval times. It's like this huge, like crispy, kind of like juicy pork knuckle kind of thing.
Like pig feet?
Yeah, kind of, you know. I'm like, what kind of pig does this come from? Because it's huge. You know what I mean?
Like what kind of dinosaur, like prehistoric?
Yeah. you know, I took my mom and stuff there, like when she came and, you know, took her to this traditional German restaurant. So, you know, and there's so many of them there in the old part of the city. So, you know, yeah, you really can't lose, you know, on that.
Fried knuckles. So that's German food. Yeah, now, what do German. You like, though? Because you ain't no Me? Fried knuckles. What would a Why? Vegetarian come here and eat?
Well, one thing I will say is that recently over the last, like, I want to say like 5 years or so, there's so many different restaurants that are coming up now with like vegan, vegetarian options. And there's an organic store like right here off of the main ring, like in the city, you know, where they sell. I have like vegan chorizo. I have like, you know, these incredible burger things, you mm-hmm. know, and different variations of that they sell. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though like ethically I'm choosing like not to eat meat, but it doesn't mean that I don't like the taste of it, you know. So I'm mm-hmm. really like enjoying, you know, all these like breakfast sausages made of like soy and like, you know, vegetable juices, however they combine these things.
Those veggie Wiener schnitzels mm-hmm. that we had the other day were actually good, that you picked up from the store. And they taste like giant Vienna sausages, but they're actually veggies. So I must admit, See? They were actually great.
Almost fooled you.
They were great.
If I hadn't said anything.
They were good. Gotcha. They were really good. But we have to shout out the Thai restaurant by Cologne Main Station. Yes. What is it called? That food was so good and spicy. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I think it's like a lot of the names are really unoriginal. I think it's like a Thai restaurant.
Food, right?
I've seen like really, I'm pretty Thai. Sure it's Thai restaurant. Just like Thai food.
Thai food.
I really think it's called Thai food, honestly.
It's so good. I swear. It's outside of Cologne Station. Mm-hmm. Is it up from by the Starbucks area? I can't remember. It's across the street
it's
somewhere.
It's like right, kind of like on the same side as the Dome, right at the main intersection where there's like a McDonald's and the Excelsior Hotel where I walked by Kid Rock once.
And it's small. And only fits a few people.
Yeah.
But it is official. That spice was popping. They do not serve it like that anywhere I've had it in America. So
love it.
Really, really happy about that. And last, we have to talk about the locality of the beer selection, because I'm sitting here staring at whatever these Kolsch.
Bad boy.
What is this?
This is Reisdorf Kolsch.
Ah, Kolsch.
The best beer in Cologne. There's lots of different variations of Kolsch. I want to say there's more than, I don't know, maybe at least like 10 different kinds of Kölsch. But Reisdorf Kölsch is my absolute favorite. It's, you know, nice and rich, but not too heavy like a Hefeweizen, which kind of like,
Hefeweizen.
Hefeweizen. That's what people usually think of when they think German beer is the Hefeweizen, you know. So if you're going to get...
Weedy, hoppy.
Yeah, you know, weedy, hoppy really, you know, really kind of gives you like this really full kind of feeling. But Reisdorf Kölsch is just like... perfect all around.
And you had me have Kolsch the first year. I mean, the first time I came in 2011. Mm-hmm. Tried it again this time. Mm-hmm. And I did like it because
it was Gilden.
I'm not a beer. That's Gilden?
It's Kolsch, but it's Gilden.
It's a different brand.
This is Reisdorf Kolsch. Yeah.
So these are like brand names.
No, it's all Kolsch, but they're just different variations, different recipes, right?
Oh, you can look at it like recipes. That. Okay. Yeah. It's not bad. It did leave me, you know, some bitter beer taste after, but I could drink a whole glass, which is big for me because I only do ciders.
Yeah, and they make it in those thin, slim glasses so that it stays a certain temperature, because you have to drink this, you know, beer at a certain temperature. That's the reason why they're in the slim glass like that. So it's the perfect amount to stay just cool enough for your satisfaction.
Ooh.
And make sure, you know, like,
come
so
on,
you have
advertisement.
Within a certain time period, you know, it's going to remain cool at a certain temperature. That's See? The reason.
Ta-da, the more you know.
Yay.
The more you know. Now, what would you warn people to not do while they're here? Because, you know, sometimes we do things that are rude. I mean, besides general being obnoxious foreigner, but what are some cultural things that you think are, you better learn this quick? Like bagging groceries in the grocery store is stressful. I said, you better throw those bags, throw those groceries in the bag. But what else should we do?
That I've seen the most is what we were saying about the restaurants. So what you don't do is
what you're not going to do.
You know, and my dad is so famous for this. He calls the waiter over and he's like, oh gosh, you know, like I'd really like to have this cheeseburger. What would you say that I should put drizzle some barbecue sauce? Or would you say that, you know, none of that. No. When you call the waiter, the waitress to your table, you better know already without a shadow of a doubt what you want to order. Because if you take more than, I say more than like 10 seconds and you're like, well, I couldn't, they're already annoyed. They're like, you know what? I'll come back. You know, and then they're not going to come back for 100 years. And see, by then, you know, you already be dead from starvation. So it's like, I don't ever need to come back. You know, you don't want that.
Man, I told you.
So do not wait. Know what you want to order already before you call the waitress over. Otherwise, you know, they're totally annoyed.
Tell you and your friends, because there's always that one person in the group that orders terribly.
And what? So
and
what
you hate going to eat with them.
So what you do is, you know, if they come and you're unsure, you're like, oh, you know, ma'am, I need a minute. Please, you know, they're like, okay, no problem, you know, if you do it directly. But otherwise, you know, if you're like, I just, you know, cheeseburgers, sushi, no.
See, that stuff is important. And people usually don't tell you that until you're in the moment. Like, if you're coming to visit, there's no guidebook that's like, hurry up and order your food because it was annoying and they're not having it. So I remember that this time and I ordered quickly.
Very good.
Well, I was delayed in bagging the groceries because I forgot where we were. And then I got on board and started bagging quickly.
I was impressed. You know, I think I even saw like a bead of sweat go across your brow.
Yes, it did. Because it came. It was like PTSD. I was like, oh, the groceries are coming.
I used to be like that, but now I just function like a machine. I'm like, put it in, bag, you know.
Goodness. I love it. That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. Just the little thing. So I really hope that this reunion quick catch-up episode of Traveling Grace and Mercy encourages somebody to come to Germany, but not just to Germany, specifically to Cologne.
Yeah, Cologne's the best.
I do hear a lot about Berlin and Munich and Frankfurt and all these other places, and it's like, you have to come here.
There's Dome is beautiful. Better. Cologne is the best.
So the river is beautiful. What is it, the Rhine?
Yeah, the Rhine, you know, where Vikings actually came down. Like, right here, I live 5 minutes away from the river, and actual Vikings came down the river.
Oh, my gosh. Just so
it's
much.
The history. It's the culture.
And you were saying the circle was back in the Roman days?
Right. Cologne is actually, it was originally in a Roman outpost. It was called Colonia, you know, among other names. The names changed throughout time, which I believe was like 700 or like 800, like, AD. So it's, like, really old. You know, like history and, you know, all kinds of things. So, yeah. And they even have a piece of the original Roman cobblestone right next to the dome. You know, they kind of have like sectioned off. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it's amazing. And the reason why they call it the Ring, which is the main road in the city, is because it was modeled after Rome, you know, like in that in a circular kind of pattern. You know, they made everything kind of centered around like the dome and then there out. So. Yeah, the Ring. Party on the Ring.
Party on the Ring. That is dope. Make sure you come on out to Cologne, Germany. Get you some Glühwein, which is hot, beautifully delicious mulled wine with spices. One of my favorites. Kolsch. Get all the good things. So you can hit me up on Instagram at Travel Grace Mercy. Come with me to Germany if you are free and like to travel. All the things, and I really hope that this episode does encourage someone to, if not just move overseas, but visit and research and come.
Herzlich willkommen, Deutschland.
Yep, what she said. Exactly. Work on your pronunciation, get a couple of phrases under your belts, and I just want to say thank you for listening to this episode of Travel Grace and Mercy. Thank you again for having me back at your house. I love you so much, and I miss you. And it's hard when your closest friends are away, but really it feels like no time has passed at all. And now that I know how to get to your house very quickly, you will see me here even when you're not.
Yay, come.
Even when you're not. And we'll have to have our Japan reunion. So go back and you can listen to episodes of Travel Grace Mercy at TravelGraceMercy.com. Also on Anchor.fm and anywhere that you listen to podcasts, you can go ahead and find out about that and hit us up if you have any questions. And I'm also at Daisha_Hunter if you want me on Instagram or Snap, which is where I put the exclusive Instagram stories. I'm not really a Snapchatter, but exclusive. Goodness. So they can come and see the clone.
Hints of debauchery.
If you come see the KOLN story, you will see the New Year's Eve that we had in such a beautiful historical building. That is at Daisha_Hunter, Daisha_Hunter. But you will come to Travel Grace Mercy for information on the episodes and information on how to connect to our guests if you ever have any questions. So thank you so much. Welcome to season 2 of Traveling Grace and Mercy. So again, Heavenly Father, just like to thank you for this journey that we are on and the people that we will meet along the way. Really, it is just a blessing to be able to travel and be able to meet other people. So, Happy New Year! Yay. Oh, it's nice. Yeah.